Well, hello everybody, and today I'm really delighted to introduce a wonderful lady and someone that's very special to me. I'll tell you about that later. This is Barbara King that's with us today, and Barbara is a teacher of the Alexander Technique. And maybe you haven't heard of that, you know, but it's certainly something that we're going to learn a lot about today. So Barbara, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Elaine.
So Barbara, tell us about the Alexander Technique and what that actually is.
Well, Alexander Technique was developed in early this century, well, sorry, last century. Developed to enable people to use themselves well on stage originally, but it began to gradually be used more in daily life, and it's taught to anybody. It doesn't matter what you do or who you are. It's all about posture and using yourself well. It's more really about our reactions to daily life, the stimulus that comes to us in daily life. All those stimulus is like crossing the road and get the first thing you do in the morning, then the alarm goes off, doesn't it, and you leap out of bed. It's about using those stimuluses and reacting to them in the best way possible, rather than getting ourselves in a mess.
Right, okay. So I know that you have a philosophy around health and what makes a healthy body, so perhaps you'd like to share that with everybody listening.
Well, a healthy body, I think, you don't have to be young or and bendy or anything. I think if you can do what you want to do, that's the main thing, isn't it? If you feel that you're able to get around and enjoy your life, then that's my idea of health.
Yeah.
And if you start to struggle, then your health goes down, you get depressed, lose confidence, and that's not healthy, is it?
No, absolutely not. One thing as well, and this is why I'm so excited to be talking to you today, is that in actual fact in my recovery, Barbara was key, because I was at a stage with my ME where I tried most things, got my health to a certain level, and then had a really massive relapse. And those of you listening that have been through that boom and bust cycle will know exactly what that feels like. And the depression at that stage had really kicked in. And it was because I have a wonderful friend called Diane Bennett, who's one of our experts that we're interviewing in one of the sessions about nutrition, asked me to come and meet a friend of hers, which is the lovely Barbara that we've got here today. And Barbara listened very carefully to everything I was telling her and explained to me that it sounded like I needed to see an endocrinologist that she had consulted for her own health, called Dr. Peatfield. So I did that, and even though I went kind of a bit heavy-hearted thinking maybe this wouldn't work, what happened was that I had a massive turnaround in my health. So really I'm sitting opposite the lady that was part of the combination lock of me regaining my health to the point that I can now live a normal life. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you so much, Barbara, for that, because you truly were an angel arriving at the right time for me. So we've talked a lot about Dr. Peatfield and the work that he does, and I'd love you to sort of tell us really your story, because all of this started for you with a really quite intensely underactive thyroid, didn't it? So can you tell us your story?
This is about age 39. My period stopped, and I didn't think anything about it. I thought, hooray. I went to the doctor and he said, oh, it's probably the menopause. That should have alerted me in the first place, because an early menopause or a period stopping just like that is a sign of a thyroid going down. And I think I started being ill perhaps before that, but I hadn't really noticed, because there's so many people in my family, all my brothers, and lots of people on my mother's side of the family were thyroid sufferers, you know, underactive or overactive even. And I should have been alerted then, but I didn't. I carried on with my job as a nurse, and I was getting a lot of pain in my neck and shoulders and in my back. And I had other things, strange symptoms. They would come and go, like a painful knee would swell up. I would hardly be able to get my trousers on, you know, because my knee was so painful and so swollen. Or my eyes would have problems with my eyes, or I'd be very, very cold, and Then I'd recover for a while, and things seemed to be all right, and then it would start again. I would have strange rashes on my body, or I would start to I started to notice things like losing my hair. It wasn't actually falling out in clumps, but it was getting thinner. Do you know, I don't know whether you know what I mean, that the spaces between your hair follicles.
Yes, absolutely, it happened to me too.
And my voice was becoming, I've got a bit of a sore throat at the moment, but my voice became very gravelly, like I was changing sex or something, yes. A man's voice. And other things, every time I went to the doctor about these things, it was just fobbed off, really. The main thing was feeling very cold over about 10 years. I started to feel much more sensitive to cold and heat. And in winter I was very cold, in summer I was very hot, couldn't cope with it. Eventually I was cold all the time. I was wearing clothes, double layer of clothes, even in summer. I was going out with a bobble hat on, you know, this sort of thing. I was going to bed in perhaps just at the beginning of winter when it's not too bad, is it? A double duvet with clothes on, and I was still cold. You know, you make your own heating under a duvet, don't you? I wasn't. I was making cold. My temperature was something like 35.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctors about this. I thought, this is a bit odd. And, oh, no, just wear more clothes, dear. And I did read up about the thyroid problem because my brother was suffering at the time, and he was practically disabled with it and having lots of problems. And I went to the doctors again a few times more, you know, to try and sort this out. I had lots of blood tests, and they all came back normal, in normal range.
They do.
I was still working as a nurse at that particular time, but I was training to be an Alexander Technique teacher as well. I went to a talk in St Mary's Hospital here in Portsmouth. It was given by Dr Pete Field, and he was talking actually to the maternity department. He was talking about babies being born with underactive thyroid to midwives, what they should recognise. And he gave us a sheet, a printed sheet with symptoms, thyroid symptoms, what to notice, and had nearly all of them. I was really shocked. Took this sheet to my doctor, who threw me out, practically threw me out of his surgery. What are you reading now, you silly woman? Well, he's a good doctor, but he really was stuck with me, really. He didn't want to know. So I made an appointment to see Dr. Peatfield, and it was this was the year 2000 by this time, early 2000, I went to see him. He took hold of my very cold hands and went, "Oh my God, my dear, you are suffering, aren't you?" I staggered into his office. I could hardly walk by this time. And he tested my reflexes, which were practically nil. I don't know how I was keeping up. And he immediately set me on the course of treatment. And within 2 months, I was feeling so much better. I even went to USA with my friend Diane. But my brother, on the other hand, who was trying to go down the same road, I've got three brothers and they're all on thyroxine, but this particular brother, he was nearly wheelchair bound. He was suffering terrible pains and constipation. His hair was practically, he was losing his hair. He was swelling up like a balloon. And he was going down this conventional route, having blood test after blood test, and they were treating him for this, that, and the other. He was suffering from ME as well because of this, of all these combination symptoms.
The underlying thing was the underactive thyroid, which is what we say constantly, that it's so vital to get your thyroid checked by somebody that understands thyroid.
Yeah. And that's how I was heading. I was in such a lot of pain and stiffness that I was heading down that road, really. I suppose if I'd gone to the doctors again more times, I would have been diagnosed as ME or fibromyalgia anyway.
Yes, yeah, because you had a lot of pain with yours, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I think you said to me, within a couple of months, you were just starting to feel like you again.
Absolutely.
And
my life.
So how many years were you suffering, do you think, before you found Dr. P?
10 years, at least.
Dr. Peatfield has written a book called The Great Thyroid Scandal, and now we know why he called it that, really, because his philosophy, isn't it, is that, you know, he looks at a patient. He doesn't just rely on blood tests.
Right.
He looks at what's actually going on.
Yes,
and I was relieved when you recommended I met him. But I think what we're talking about here is seeing an endocrinologist, somebody that works in the naturopathic world as well, because what he does recommend is natural products. It's not it's not the normal kind of chemicals.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, as you said, thyroid has affected your whole family, hasn't it, in one way or another.
Yes,
was your parents aware of their underactive thyroid, or your mum or whatever?
No, my mother is okay. She's all right. On her side of the family, she's got 11 brothers and sisters, and nearly all of them are on thyroxine. Yeah. She's all right.
So that's why it was overlooked with you children, because your mum was okay, she didn't know, she wasn't looking out for it.
Mm.
And that's the thing, it can manifest in so many different ways that people just think it's, you know, your age or something.
It's your age, dear.
It's your age is a common one.
And it creeps up very slowly over years, and if you're not careful.
That's right.
You can lose it, really. You can lose track of yourself because it's incipient.
So underactive thyroid is a huge key, and of course that affects every other part of the body and the adrenal glands and all of that. So once that starts working, then we can start improving. In your practice, which you work out of in Southsea in Hampshire in the UK, you do work with quite a few people with ME and chronic fatigue, and you have done over the years.
Yes.
What is it you notice, Barb, about those particular patients?
I think they're always in pain. It's always this, every day they wake up, they're in pain. And they're looking for it, to check their day out. What can I do today? Oh, I'm in pain. And they lose confidence. So it's not much confidence in them as well, and they kind of feeds on itself, really. The more pain you're in, the more you kind of create. I've noticed this a lot with people like this. The more they find pain, the more it creates. I mean, I think that's normal for our mental, because there's a mental process going with it, and the body processes, and vice versa. We're interconnected, aren't we?
Yes.
If we tell ourselves we're in pain or look for it, then the body's going to create it, more stiffness around it, around the pain, to make it worse. And the more you look for it, the more you find it, I think. I don't mean there's anything wrong with, I don't mean, not talking about some sort of terrible psychological illness here. It's a normal thing. If you find pain, we stiffen up, don't we?
Yeah, we hold ourselves differently, don't we?
Then that has a knock-on effect with other parts of the body, because we're all connected. Each muscle is connected to another one. If you have pain in your neck, it will go down to your shoulders, and then you can't do anything with your shoulders, so your arms get painful, and then your back gets painful. So it kind of travels round, and then the more pain you're in, and the more it feeds on itself, unfortunately.
What kind of things do you do with patients that present with this, you know, this pain and mind sort of loop of feeding itself?
Yeah, well, we teach her practical skills of being able to rest in certain ways. There's an active rest that they can do. You know, that terrible exhaustion you get with them, a terrible feeling of exhaustion.
Yes,
that's fibromyalgia, where you get it, and with thyroid problems, you get this terrible exhaustion.
It feels like you actually can't move, even if the house was on fire.
Yeah, it's just a terrible draining thing, isn't it? You just have to lie down. Well, we teach a special way of lying down that's that helps the body to soften the muscles that are in pain, so that they can ease out, and then you get more flexibility. So the tight muscles will pull bones together, pull joints together, and distort them. So basically you want the muscles to release, especially around the spine. So a special way of lying down, an active rest that you do several times during the day. And also a mental process. It's not hard or anything. It's not something you've got to really concentrate on. It's more of just bringing awareness to give you yourself these instructions to not to search for pain. Acknowledge if you are in pain, of course, but not to search for more, to allow the brain to start to teach those muscles that it's okay to release. So it sounds a bit complicated, a bit wacky maybe, but it's not. It's a very practical procedure, and to enable you to manage the illness while you've got it.
Well, I know we were talking earlier, and we both found you can heal your life by Louise Hay. Mm. So yes. Useful. That I know that's a book that you highly recommend, and it's one that I recommend too. And of course, it is the one. Mm. Her philosophy is about the only thing you can control is your thoughts.
Mm.
And so, what you're saying there, if I've got that correctly, is that you're actually teaching your mind, if you like, you're back in control.
Mm.
Then giving your body instruction rather than the other way round.
That's right. Yes.
And starting to sort of create new patterns, I suppose.
That's it. Yes, we get into patterns of behaviour. I think, you know, if you hurt your knee when you're, say if you fall over and hurt your knee, you could go around for the rest of your life limping, couldn't you?
Yes, you could.
You could teach yourself not to limp and to allow the knee to get better properly.
It just never ceases to amaze me, the power of our minds and how that we can take control of our health.
We are very powerful. The mind is very powerful.
Incredibly so.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see what else I've got here. Alexander technique is something that, you know, it fascinates me, because something you told me when we talked quite a few years ago was even something as that we put too much tension into our muscles when we do certain things, and that's what you're looking out for in teaching, isn't it? And one of the tips that you gave me was just check how I was holding my toothbrush, because really, how much pressure does it take to clean your teeth?
Yeah.
Very little. And when I tested that out the next time I brushed my teeth, I realised that I was hanging on to my toothbrush for grim death, and the tension in my hands and arms and shoulder.
Scrubbing your teeth like this is tomorrow.
So, you know, I just think that was such a brilliant example of what Alexander technique can do, just something as simple as in your daily life.
Mm. Mm.
So, I know for you, you were fascinated by it because you'd been in pain for a long time, hadn't you?
Absolutely, yes.
And it really did relieve it for you.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us about that transition? You know, what was it that started you deciding you wanted to train?
Yes, I'd been in pain. This pain, you learn to live with pain, don't you? You kind of assume it's just everybody. And I'd been complaining about pain for years. And there was one day, I was in the sluice, complained about my back as usual, and a male nurse said, "Oh, for goodness sake, Barbara, go and have some Alexander technique. Can't explain it, just go and do it." So I did, and at first I thought, well, what's all this about? You know, this teacher doesn't seem to do very much. We don't actually do that much. We're guiding people. And I realised that I was actually creating an awful lot of pain for myself. I've got lots of stiffness in my back, and I'm still working on that, actually, because I think when you have a thyroid problem, there's always going to be some stiffness. But I realised that every time I woke up in the morning, I was looking to see where I was hurting most.
I'm smiling because that's exactly what I used to do, and I still have to watch it, because I can do that too.
Right.
You get in a habit of it.
Yeah, it's easy to get into
habit. Yeah, you look at your alarm clock, and you know, then you check your body out.
And where am I hurting? Oh, that bit's hurting. That's fine. I'm alive. I'm in pain. I'd stagger to work, and stagger back in the evening. You know, stagger because women's work's never done. I'd be doing jobs in the home as well, staggering around doing it. But then I would eventually, by the end, halfway through the week, I'd be absolutely totally exhausted with the pain.
Because dealing with pain is tiring, isn't it? That's the other thing of ME and fibromyalgia.
When you lose confidence, you lose awareness of yourself and confidence. And those are two things, you know, you need to get around in your life. You need awareness, because otherwise how would you keep yourself safe? And you need confidence to get around. I don't mean you've got to be blasé.
Yes.
But confidence to get around the world. And you lose that ability to to be kinesthetically aware of what's around you, in fact.
Yeah, because your thoughts go inward always to your brain, don't they? Yeah. Rather than you being able to focus on all the wonderful things around you. And a lot of the work that we do on the program is helping people to redirect and distract and focus on other things.
Mm. Because
no matter how bad it is, there's always something that we can enjoy.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
there?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So, can you just sort of highlight the benefits that your clients get from you or your patients? I'm not sure what you call them. Do you call them
the pupils.
Pupils, yeah. So you call your pupils. Yeah. What benefits do you think that they get from Alexander Technique?
That the things we show specifically for people with fibromyalgia or ME, it's very practical. So you've got to be able to use yourself well in whatever you do. So it's about being mindful in whatever you do. So if you think you've got to have a lot of things to do during the day, we all have, if you're bedbound, it's a little bit different. There's other things you do there. But if you've got to get on with your life, you know, you've got to go do your shopping, and your housework, and you've got the kids to look after, you've got to go to the office. About managing your life within reason so that you can do those things without overstraining. I think we just try to do too much and then we end up in more pain. So we teach them those strategies for like coping. And this active rest that we teach them, people, so they need to do that so that they can soften those muscles that get tight during the day. And it's just really coping strategies and raising awareness of themselves so that they increase the confidence. And that's one of the main things, confidence, so they can get out.
Yes, yeah.
And get out of bed for a start, get out of bed for a start. I mean, I would have been, heading for bed, being bedbound. I was hardly able to get off the sofa. Get up in the morning, go downstairs, put my breakfast out, but I would be asleep over the plate before I... Yeah. So I'm sure you've been there,
the stress that goes on because you're also not even allowing your body to heal because you're worrying about the fact that you're missing out on your life as well. So there's all those stresses going
absolutely.
On, isn't there?
Yeah, more stresses.
Which exhausts you even more, and then, you know, it's just that vicious circle, isn't it?
Then somebody comes along and says, pull yourself together, dear.
We've all had that one. Yeah. Okay, something that we were discussing earlier was, and I think this will be really useful for you to explain to our listeners, is what happens when someone does get ME in the family and how that literally can create different dynamic at home. And perhaps, you know, you was explaining to me about how important it is as a carer to be aware of what's going on.
Yeah, I've seen this loads of times, you know, hundreds of times over the years. But especially teaching the Alexander Technique, sometimes I have to go out to clients and because they can't get out of the house. And I've noticed that the people, so many I could just give you so many examples, but I don't want to break confidences or anything. But I've noticed that the main person who's doing the looking after, they tend to start to copy the patient, if you like, the person they're caring for. I do know a couple, I won't name them or anything, but she's got having a terrible time with fibromyalgia, and sometimes she can't get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes it takes all day to just make a very small movement. It's really bad for her. And the Alexander Technique helps. It helps to get her moving a little bit more. And each time I see her, her confidence is raised. But then, if I don't see her for a while, suddenly she falls back. And her husband has started to copy her. Because he has to cope with all this during the day, he's getting a lot of aches and pains too. So it's almost as if I'm in pain too. So he's beginning to get the same symptoms as her. He's not being diagnosed as having fibromyalgia or ME, but he's reporting the same symptoms, the same pain, the same difficulties, and having to go to pain down the pain control track. He's having medication and antidepressants because he feels depressed.
And
it's these easy times.
Is he now a full-time carer for
this
lady?
Mm. So yes, he had to give up his job.
Yes.
He's given up most of his lifestyle, you know, with his friends that he used to go out with, play football or things like that, and go out to the pub for a drink, play darts. All that stopped because now he's totally within this world.
Yeah.
And he's nothing else to stimulate his mind.
Exactly. So it becomes all-consuming, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the experts that we were working with at the moment, Dr. David Hamilton, he explained to us about mirror cells in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you ever watch somebody trying to feed a baby and they get that baby to sort of, you know, you might do choo-choo to make the baby open its mouth, and he noticed that all of his family were sort of all sitting there, like, opening their mouth, willing that food to go in that baby's mouth.
Yeah.
And he was explaining why we do that, that we literally mirror. So there's some mirroring going on there, but it's you become like the people that you're around, don't you?
And then, of course, the patient gets worse too, because they're...
So it's a downward spiral. Yeah. So I think one of the key things, and, you know, Kelly on the programme talks about it quite a lot, is the fact that it's so hard for people supporting and caring for someone because they're at a loss as well. They don't know what to do for the best. But certainly, if they can start encouraging that person to move more and also keep their life going, I think it's so important, isn't it?
There's a lady I know who looks after her son, who was had a thyroid problem from birth, so the mental damage was done. You know, that he should have been treated as soon as he was born. That's sort of an example of what Dr. Peakman was trying to alert the nurses to. So he's in his 40s now. And if she treated him as a normal human, a normal growing lad, and into a normal adult, normal man, everything he would have, because the mental damage he's done, he would have been, there were some learning difficulties there, but he would have just lived an almost normal life. But because he was treated too late, and he's stuck into this problem of mental, it's almost like autism, can I say, that he's in this routine, they have this routine that they live in, that he has problems from his illness, and she looks after that, she does everything for him, even though he can do things for himself. So she's quite elderly now, he's getting older, of course, and they both feed on each other's illnesses, so that they're totally locked in their routine. You go in and change and say, look, you don't have to do it that way, you can do it this way, be more useful for you, more to help to expand your life. You don't have to do, you don't have to be always in the house, you can go for a walk, for instance.
My philosophy exactly is, I think, you know, you may be in some pain, but you may as well be in some pain in the garden, looking at the birds flying about, and, you know, or go out into nature and sit there and take your mind off it.
Yeah,
and I always remember reading about a lady that was so ill with ME, she didn't think she was going to make her daughter's wedding. And I never quite understood that, because I thought, well, I'd rather go along with my pain and see my daughter get married than be at home with my pain and missing that.
So,
to me, it's about do what you can do always to expand your life, no matter where you are now. But it's having that belief that you can get well and that you are improving with everything you're doing, isn't it? That's great. So, top tips, Barbara, if, you know, we've got people out there that are working really hard to get well.
Yeah.
What top tips would you give them?
I think, like you say, if you're in pain, it's better, you might as well be in pain and get out there.
Sitting on the seat.
Yes, absolutely. And if you've done some sport in your life, why not just try and do something like that, you know, to get out. You don't have to go be an expert at it, do you? If you walked, go take a walk, you know, even if you're in pain. And fresh air is absolutely fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
get out there and talk and meet people. I think the best thing to boost your confidence is to actually get out and meet people, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a healthy diet too. I think you can. I think it's easy to just eat rubbish when you're not feeling well, isn't it?
Well, that's your compensation, isn't it? You know, my husband used to bring me home all sorts of
easy
sweet stuff,
that's
you know,
right.
because he thought he was treating me because I couldn't do the normal things. Actually, that wasn't doing my system any good, because obviously we have all the food intolerances to deal with and all of that as well.
What are the top tips?
So get out, meet people. Yeah, and I think that's it. Get out that isolation.
Absolutely.
You don't want to meet people sometimes when you feel so ill, but actually it breaks the day, it breaks up that focus on you, doesn't it?
I think, and if you're being cared for on a regular basis, that carer needs to be looked after, don't they? So you need to, you know, not to impinge yourself. If you can do something for yourself, then do it for God's sake, you know.
Yeah, I think that is key, because I know, you know, my husband did so much for me, and I did get to a point where I realised that I wasn't exactly milking it, but because he just would do it, I didn't even need to.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes they need to realise that they're kind of killing us a bit with kindness.
Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe just make sure they go out and have a day off, because if you are gasping for a drink or something, you probably would make yourself be able to go and get one.
Yes, absolutely. Whatever help there is, if it's practical help like you're offering, then, you know, it's really... The best thing is to look down that. Don't just sit back and say, well, I've got ME, or I've got fibromyalgia, or I've got fibro problems. Just, you know, you don't have... There is treatments for these things. What's fibromyalgia? What is ME? It's a mixture of symptoms, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and that is our philosophy at the Christmas Effect. We really believe that it's a whole set of symptoms that when you look at them, they come under... Candida, very similar. You know, underactive thyroid is similar. You know, so everything really—it's kind of an umbrella term for when we don't fit into the normal things like, you know, rheumatism or whatever.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
so I think that once we realise that, we can start tackling those symptoms.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting what you said earlier. You know, you work with somebody for a session, and then the next time you go back, they've allowed themselves to slip back, and that's our whole premise. Is we want to be that support that keeps people working on their mind, working on other things they can do, tips and strategies between seeing professionals that can really help them.
Mm.
Sounds like the work you do.
Because I don't think when you've been diagnosed with any of those things, they leave you. Don't they? You're left to it, really, aren't you?
That's right.
There's no plan of care, is there?
There is absolutely no plan of care for ME and fibromyalgia, and that's, I think, to me, that is the absolute key stressor that starts people's symptoms getting worse and worse and worse. And whereas if it could be intercepted and people said, oh, you know, you will recover, you will get better, but you need to actually work through this and this, and that's all I craved. There was nobody to do that for me. And that's why I think it goes on for years, because people just lose hope.
Yes, they do, and confidence in their ability to look, believe in it, you know.
I know, you know, from the people that we work with, the story is always similar. And when I did start to feel better after I'd had treatment from Dr. Greenfield, and I started to get to that point, I thought, oh, I can start to think about getting some work.
Isn't that a wonderful moment?
It's a wonderful moment, but do you know what?
Yeah.
I could not have even thought of doing some of the higher level stuff that I'd done before I was ill. I realised that even though I used to teach confidence and empowerment, I didn't have the confidence to apply for anything that I was capable of doing.
Because you were going down.
I had to go very much lower and start at just something that I was... I can remember my stomach churning with nerves going for an interview. And yet, I used to teach interview skills, you know, so be prepared that happens, but it's about pushing yourself through it.
Yes.
Because you are still in there, and you will come back
that
out.
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
The other book that you love, isn't it?
Yeah.
Susan Jeffers.
Yeah.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. Great recommendation.
Yeah.
Just finally, before we finish, Barbara, it's been lovely talking to you. The common denominator that we have with every single person that has had a period of illness and has then come through it, although our company is called Get Your Life Back, they don't get their old life back. They go into something else, and you're no exception, are you?
No.
So can you tell us about, I know you've moved from nursing, and now you run this wonderful practice. practice. I know that you keep all the military band in working order because they get very stiff carrying their instruments, don't they? Would you say that in a way that illness was that gift that we hear so often?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have wished it on myself, but it's happened, and I suppose I would have been still nursing, but it was a catalyst to come out of that and to do something I really, really wanted to look at, which was the Alexander technique. I really was interested in that and wanted to move on to that eventually. And I didn't think I had the confidence to do that, but the illness, I had to give up the nursing, so I had to do it. And of course, as I got, when after my treatment, you know, when I started my treatment with Dr. Peakfield, and I suddenly felt completely different, from 10 years of illness, I suppose. Wow! And suddenly a new person blossomed. And because I started my practice with Diane, of course, and really encouraging, you know, Diane is sort of a catalyst for both of us, isn't she?
That's right, Diane Bennett, you'll be hearing from Diane another session.
I do hear that interview. It's been the making of me that I run my own business, and I meet absolutely so many people. I mean, sometimes some people are very sadly not very well, of course, but you know, most people will improve in some way and get really, and it's really encouraging for me. I'm really, really excited about it. It really helps me. It keeps me going because I can use it for myself as well. Because I meet so many people, I travel about, and like you say, military.
It's just got what's going on right now.
I don't know why I didn't do it before, but then you need something to, you have to get pushed, don't you?
That's right. And you have a really healthy lifestyle now, don't you?
Yes, I do, apart from the cold I've got at the moment.
But I know that you're always active.
Yes, amazing. Yes, and at one time I could never have gone to a gym or swum or anything like that, but I swim 3 times a week. I go to the gym, and I dance, and I sing, and I play ukulele.
You really do that?
Yes. And of course, I like to get out. It's just really I love to meet people and see people meet out and understand more about how people function and look at their lifestyles. I'm not criticising at all. I just love to see. It doesn't matter if people slump in front of me. I don't mind if they want to do that. And it's just really interesting to meet people.
But it's just a lovely story. I loved hearing how, you know, you've gone, the whole experience has propelled you to living this wonderful balanced life. I know that you've got family.
So, and I've got my hair back as well.
And you've got your hair back, which is always a plus, isn't it, Barbara? Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
It's been great.
A beautiful Sunday morning. Absolutely. We're looking out over the Sea of the Solent while we're doing this interview, and we find ourselves a lot by the sea, so I think that's another good tip, you know, get out near the water to get into nature, in any shape or form. Anyway, thanks, Barbara, so much. And we just know that you're going to carry on doing marvellous work for people. This will have inspired so many. So thank you from all of us.
And carry on with your work. That's absolutely fantastic what you're doing. You know, it's absolutely fantastic that somebody started this, because otherwise, you know, it would have been just droning on in the same old...
Yes, we're on a mission to change the whole perception of what ME is and how people can get. We're on a mission with a vision and a passion. That's right. So yes, and we'd love to come to. We always talk about the big events we're going to be holding. Yeah. All our people are recovered, and hold them in different venues around the world so that we can all meet up and see.
More people to meet.
So that's great. Anyway, thanks again, Barbara.
Oh, thank you very much, Elaine.